The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Donald Trump is getting some backlash right now from MAGA. Trump was on an interview with Laura Ingraham just this week. Honestly, if you watch the whole thing, it's mostly good. It's about 40 minutes. It's about 35 minutes of good stuff on immigration, on elections, on the shutdown, and all that's fine. But he also talked about a few things that really ticked MAGA off. And what we're seeing right now is actually a massive fit of anger from Republicans online, mostly over his comments on the economy. Here is what he said.
Costs are way down. Gasoline is going to be hitting $2 pretty soon, or around $2. Gasoline is at $2.70 now, and it was at $4.50 under Biden, under Sleepy Joe. When gasoline comes down, when energy comes down, and everybody agrees energy's down, we're drilled, you know, drill, baby, drill. We're going like wild. We produce more gasoline, oil and gas, in the last month than we ever have before, by far. And we're going to also end up filling up the national strategic reserves, which were taken out by Biden in order to try and win an election. Didn't work out too well. They tapped in. That's supposed to be for war, for national emergency, not to get.
So are you saying that voters are misperceiving how they feel? Or
so when I took over, you remember?
Because you said Biden did that, too, because he was saying things were great, but things weren't great.
It's synonymous. Biden and Kamala, you know, because you didn't know who the hell was campaigning. I mean, it got to a point. So I was up by 20 points on Biden or some crazy number.
So he specifically asked about the economy, and all he talks about is oil and Biden. And he's absolutely right about oil, how it's stabilized. It's actually gotten cheaper. That's been a win for Trump, for sure. It's probably his number one economic win as president, I would say. But then he gets distracted and he talks about Biden, which frankly is a leftist move because that's what they do. You ask them a hard question and they just go off on how much they hate Trump. Trump has no reason to do that. Biden's not in office anymore. He lost, right? Trump beat him. So the reality is no voter wants to hear that. We want to hear that things are not so expensive. And if they are expensive, we want to hear how they're going to be less expensive. Laura Ingraham makes that same point, also brings up the 50-year mortgage stuff that Trump has been pushing. Take a look.
Now, because your housing director has proposed something that has enraged your MAGA friends, which is this 50-year mortgage idea. So a significant MAGA backlash, calling it a giveaway to the banks and simply prolonging the time it would take for Americans to own a home outright. Is that really a good idea?
It's not even a big deal. I mean, you know, you go from 40 to 50 years, and what it means is
50,
you pay something less. From 30, that some people had a 40, and then now they have a 50. All it means is you pay less per month. You pay it over a longer period of time. It's not like a big factor. It might help a little bit. But the problem was that Biden did this. He increased the interest rates. And I have a lousy Fed person who's going to be gone in a few months, fortunately. I have a guy too late, you know, Jerome Powell. We call him too late. He was too late in everything, except when it came to before the, you know, the Democrat, so-called Democrat election, which didn't work. But we're going to get interest rates down. But even with interest rates up, the economy is the strongest it's ever been. You know, you asked me, just to go back to the beginning of your question, you talked about prices. We're down on energy. We're down on interest rate. You know, interest rates are down despite the Fed. Now, if the Fed, if we had a normal person at the Fed, would have really low interest rates, and we will soon have that. We'll have somebody that's
going to be good. Then why are people saying they're anxious about the economy? Why are they saying that?
I don't know that they are saying. I think polls are fake. We have the greatest economy we've ever had. We have we will have over $20 trillion come into our economy, and it's largely because of my election, but it's also largely because of tariffs.
And that right there is the problem. Trump is doing essentially exactly what Biden did. He is telling us that the economy is good when in fact it is not good. And we know it's not good because we feel it every single day. And that's what has Republicans riled up. And frankly, it should. Right now, if you look at the numbers for the economy, it doesn't look that great. There are some things that look decent. I can understand where Trump is coming from, but they don't look that good. If you look at growth in the economy expanded 3.3% annualized in quarter two, beating expectations. But then if you look at it, growth is slowing. People are starting to estimate that it actually might get cut back to 0.8% in 2025. So what we're seeing is a really strong first half of 2025, a less strong second half, which forecasters are saying is probably because of the tariffs. Inflation, yes, it is down from what Biden numbers were at 7 and 8%. But right now, forecasters expect year-end inflation to end around 2.75%, which again is it's about 150%, I should say, more than what they actually want it to be at 2%. So that's not great. We've limited data right now from last month because of the government shutdown. So that's going to be tricky. We may not know what the government is like until quarter two of next year. Wage growth, which in my opinion is one of the most important, I think that's what most Americans are really struggling with right now. It looks like it's going to be 4.9%. Again, that's the annual wage growth as of August, which is our most recent data on that. 4.9% is not that high, especially if you've got 2.75% inflation. You're looking at about a 2% increase in your wages, which is just not great, especially if you bring in all the other inflation that we had before that. The 12-month change in the U.S. Consumer Food Index was about 2.9%. So that's about in line with inflation. So people saying that groceries are just so crazy, to be clear, that's not from this year. That's mostly from Biden-era stuff. But regardless, the prices aren't going down. They're still trending upwards. Again, up 28.3% since January of 2020. So since the beginning of COVID, that's huge. One third more expensive. Whether in the last year it's gotten more expensive is kind of irrelevant to the question of has it gotten more expensive over the last 4 years? Because I think when people are looking at groceries, they're not thinking a month ago or 2 months ago. That's kind of hard to contextualize. But I think it's pretty easy to think 4 years back and be like, this beef was not $12. This beef was $8. That's a huge increase. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the unemployment rate was 4.3% in August. Not horrible. I actually wouldn't say that number is one to be super concerned about. So the reality is the numbers are mixed right now. Some are on the more positive side, some are not. Some things in the economy remain resilient. Others are weakening. But the trouble through all of that, that Trump has is because of the horrible things that happened during Biden, people aren't getting used to it yet. People are basically, they weren't electing Trump to just stabilize the prices, which is what he's done fairly effectively. They elected him, whether it's possible or not, to reduce the prices back down to, say, 2021 or 2022 levels. So to be honest, that's a tall order. Honestly, if you look at the economics of all of it, it's really hard for a president to do that. I don't even think it's realistic to hold Trump to that. I actually think that's not an expectation that one could reasonably put on the president. But that then means that Trump needs to stop saying the economy is great. Like, don't gaslight us. You just have to be honest with the American people then on the state of the economy. Even if he can't do anything in the short term to fix things, it would be more politically honest and advantageous to not take the Biden route and instead validate people's concerns. Because the Biden route is just saying everything's great. No, things are not great. He needs to explain to us why stabilizing prices is something he's done. He cannot bring them down to pre-Biden era. And all we can do is be mad at Biden and not do what we did again. That is an actual, you know, it might not be exactly what Americans want to hear, but that's actually an argument that is not gaslighting. Getting told that the economy is fantastic when it is not and you're feeling it is not is frustrating. By the way, tariffs, not the way to make it better, like he says. Neither are 50-year mortgages or stimulus checks, as I talked about on the show yesterday. Before I show you the next clip that really made MAGA angry, I have to say I am proud of Republicans for this. I'm actually really proud of Republican voters, rather, not the elite, but the voters over this response. I think it is good, whether you agree with this take that Trump shouldn't have said those things or not, it's good to hold your president to account. It's good to not be a political cult. This kind of tells me more than ever that MAGA is an independent group that is actually not as tied down to one person as we thought. Trump, 100%, is the leader of MAGA. I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. But at the same time, you have to hold him accountable. You have to remind Trump who is in charge, and it should be the American people. So I think this is very good. I think Trump will respond to the backlash, but he only gets better if we're honest with him. That's why I'm proud of Republican voters. So glad we're not as tribal as maybe Republicans once were and as Democrats are right now. Now, after talking about the economy, Laura Ingraham criticizes Trump pretty openly for letting 600,000 Chinese students into our universities. It's something I've been critical of as well. To all of our surprise, I mean this very literally, and X and online and everyone has been ablaze on this, he actually defended that policy of having 600,000 Chinese students in our country very strongly. Here it is.
Folks are not thrilled about this idea of hundreds of thousands of foreign students in the United States. We have about 350,000 Chinese. One point during COVID, you were going to, you know, push to, you know, get them out, but that was pulled back. You've said as many as 600,000 Chinese students could come to the United States. Why, sir, is that a pro-MAGA position when many American kids want to go to school and there are places not for them and these universities are getting rich off Chinese money?
Sure. Never said about China, but we do have a lot of people coming in from China. We always have China and other countries. We also have a massive system of colleges and universities. And if we were to cut that in half, which perhaps makes some people happy, you would have half the colleges in the United States go out of business.
So what?
Well, I think that's a big deal.
Are they fans,
you would have the
fans
historically,
of the United States?
Yeah, but you would have, as you know, historically black colleges and universities would all be out of business. You would have a system of colleges and universities. Would
so
go
we're
down
dependent
the
on China to keep
no,
our university
not China,
system
but,
going?
But I think it's good to have, I actually think it's good to have outside countries. Look, I want to be able to get along with the
they're
world.
They're not the French. They're the Chinese. They spy on us. They steal our intellectual property.
What, do you think the French are better?
Yeah.
I mean, really? I don't know. I'll tell you, I'm not so sure. We've had a lot of problems with the French, where we get taxed very unfairly on our technology, with, you know, they put 25% taxes on American products. Look, assuming everyone treats us badly, because that's the way I am, but we take in trillions of dollars from students. You know, the students pay more than double when they come in from most foreign countries.
So this seems very contradictory to me. It seems to me that the antithesis of, number one, isolating China with tariffs, which is something he said he wants to do, and two, getting foreigners that don't have Western values out of our country. Like, those seems like two things that Trump really wants to do. And this seems like the antithesis to that. Because again, China is literally enemy numero uno. There is no one that is a bigger threat to America than China. There's no one that hates America more than China, except for maybe a few of our friends in the Middle East, but they don't have the power that China has. We don't want their students here to steal our intellectual property. And they're not making our universities less crazy. They're making them more. We already have a problem with that, but they're not making it better. Here's a video from UC Berkeley. This is just from this week, where an Antifa riot broke out, basically made the place just look like a war zone. Again, this is a university. That's our universities now, mostly created by leftist Americans. These aren't foreigners, all of them. But why would we add the CCP students into that mix? That's my kind of point with that. That just seems crazy to me. It obviously did to the rest of MAGA because Trump took a lot of heat for that specific part of the interview. And I think the mark of a good leader with all of this, because I'm still pro-Trump, I still support Trump, and I think most people do. But the mark of a good leader is very simple. Listen to your followers. Don't be an elitist. Don't tell your followers that you know best. Listen to them. And I think the big test for Trump going forward is, will he dig in deeper when he's got bad ideas like these ones, for example, or is he going to listen? And is he going to change? If he listens, no problem. I mean, people are going to forgive easily. And again, what I care about is not being haughty and not being an absolutist. I care about things getting done. And so if Trump changes his mind and gets it done, no harm done. MAGA will remain loyal to him. I'll have a lot of positive things to say about him. But if he lets his pride get in the way and get the best of him and does nothing to fix the economy or does nothing to fix our universities, I think it's going to be hard for MAGA to defend him for three more years. Before we get back to the news, guys, the progressive left is a cult. I talk all about it in my book, A New Cult. I talk about some crazy, crazy stories. It's actually on sale right now on Amazon. Go check it out. The link is in the description below. Ben Shapiro truly said the least controversial thing I think I've ever heard about personal finance and the economy this week in a viral interview. And the internet, mostly far left and far right people, freaked out completely. Here is what he said.
If you're a young person and you can't afford to live here, then maybe you should not live here. I mean, that is a real thing. Yeah, I know that we've now grown up in a society that says that you deserve to live where you grew up. But the reality is that the history of America is almost literally the opposite of that. The history of America is you go to a place where there is opportunity. And if the opportunities are limited here and they're not changing, then you really should try to think about other places where you have better opportunities.
How is this controversial? If you can't afford it, you have to move. What else do you want? To print, like, are we communists here? Are we printing money? I live in Utah, for example. I would love to have a house in Park City on the ski slopes. I'm a big skier, if you didn't know. But I don't have a right to that, as people online were suggesting. Like, that's just something that I have to go out and earn. And it turns out that Park City is incredibly unaffordable because everyone wants to do it. Because it's a beautiful place and the ski resorts are incredible. I can't afford it, so I have to move somewhere else. One day, when I upsize, because I'm going to have more kids, I will again have to move somewhere more affordable. That's not controversial. That's just life. It's not because the world's evil. It's not because the economy is trying to destroy me. It's because, as it turns out, there's finite space in this country and in the world. And when things get full, they get more expensive, right? Supply and demand. And there's a reason that, a good reason, that in Malibu, the real estate is more expensive than in Bakersfield or Elko, Nevada. One is a beautiful oceanside town, one is a dirt pile. And that's why one's more expensive than the other. You don't have a right to live somewhere. And what I'm seeing right now from the far left and the far right, which are almost indistinguishable at this point, is that there's this sentiment that it is so evil, so horrible to just accept facts and reality, which is that you do not have a right to live wherever the heck you want. Because if you did, again, we would have 8 billion people living in Oceanside, California. And that would be physically impossible. What these people wish is that fairy tales and rainbows led the economy for some reason, that we could all just live wherever we want and have a right to it. Make no mistake, I don't care if people on the left or the right are saying this, this is a mentality of the left. It is communist. It's total crap, and frankly, I think it's just deeply unserious, very childish, people who don't understand what reality is, people who just want the world to be a certain way, but don't actually want to work to make it that way. And these are the same people, by the way, who have also made this resurface clip of Ben Shapiro go viral on X about the retirement age. This is from like a year or two ago, but people are freaking out about it now. Also uncontroversial, in my opinion. Take a look.
No one in the United States should be retiring at 65 years old. Frankly, I think retirement itself is a stupid idea unless you have some sort of health problem. Everybody that I know who is elderly, who has retired, is dead within 5 years. And if you talk to people who are elderly and they lose their purpose in life by losing their job and they stop working, things go to hell in a handbasket real quick. But put all of that aside, just on a fiscal level and on a logical level. When Franklin Delano Roosevelt established 65 as the retirement age, the average life expectancy in the United States was 63 years old. Today, the average life expectancy in the United States is close to 80. It's totally insane that you believe that you should be able to work from the time that you are essentially 20 to the time that you are 65, which is a 45-year period, pay in, and then you will receive Social Security benefits sufficient to support you and your family, you and your wife or whatever, for like another 20 years. That's crazy talk. That is not fiscally sustainable.
Once again, how is this controversial? Everyone knows that retired people die very quickly. That is a fact. And the way our current society is going, by the way, when people retire, no one has kids or grandkids anymore because they're not having kids, right? And so truly, what do you have to live for after you retire? I'm not saying that people have to live to work, but at a certain point, you can look at the data, people do lose their purpose when they end their career. So again, if you want to disagree with that, that's fine. Regardless of if people want to retire at 65 or not, that can be a choice. People can do that if they want. But what Ben is saying in here with Social Security is that the math does not math. Social Security was never meant to be the only retirement that you have, ever. But people treat it that way. They act like that's going to be their whole nest egg. And if you do that, what you are saying, on a financial level at least, is that I'm going to work for 45 years and turn 6.2% of my earnings, which is the Social Security tax, into 20 to 30 years of living. That is financially impossible, as Ben Shapiro says. You would need insane returns on that money to make that happen, which Social Security is not even an investment. It doesn't really have returns in the first place. So I don't know what people are expecting. They expect to pay almost no money in Social Security and just magically have millions of dollars when they retire. It does not math. It does not work. All the people saying that we should not raise the retirement age for Social Security, they're missing the point. This isn't about feeling good. It's not about what's right or wrong. This is just about math. If we don't change the retirement age, say goodbye to 4% more of your check every year because of inflation. That's what's happening right now. Because what happens when you have $38 trillion in debt because of these stupid government programs is you go and lose all of the worth of your Social Security check in the first place. You can say you want the Social Security earlier, but just understand that once it gets to you, it will be worth so little, it won't even matter. I love interacting with you guys. That's why I've created my new Substack. Substack is a weekly newsletter that goes right to your inbox. It's completely free to you. And I talk about things I wasn't able to get to on the show, and you're able to respond right back. I will always answer every single person on the Substack. Go check it out right now. Again, completely free to you. The link is in the description below. Thank you so much for watching today's episode, everybody. Please like the video so other great patriots like yourselves will see it. And you can tune in every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the live show, or you can watch another video right here.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chum has been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.